Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Baba Basra Kuf Mem Gimel. We are holding second lines from the top, the Itmar, as we have learned. So this ties into yesterday's discussion, but really it's a standalone, you know, separate, it can be a separate independent discussion. The Itmar, as we have learned. Knika Chamer. What happens if Reuven offered Shimon a gift? So he's offering Shimon a gift, and also he's giving something to the donkey. Okay, so he says, you will be kinda, you will acquire, just like the donkey is going to acquire something from me. Okay? Does it work? Loikana, it doesn't work. Not for the donkey, nor for the man, because he tied it together. He packaged it as one process, as one, you know, a kinyan, as one procedure. And if the chamer element is non-existent, is invalid, chamer cannot be kinyan, so can't the man. Okay, that's because he says kechamer, like the chamer. So it's dependent upon, right? But let's say at v'chamer, it's a bit different. You be kaina, and also the chamer will be kaina, you know, whatever I have to offer. So he didn't really, you know, make it as one, but he did slightly relate it, one to the other. He said, at v'chamer. What happens now? So here we have a machlekes. A three, way machlekes. Rav Nachman amar kana mechze. According to Rav Nachman. So although the chamer is not going to be kaina, but the man could, and he gets half. Because when he says, you and the chamer are going to be kaina, he meant 50-50. So although the chamer is not, the man will. And Rashbam says, shaloi tal on zebezeh. He didn't really link one to the other. Although the chamer's kinyan is not really valid, but the man's kinyan is. That is Rav Nachman. Rav Hamnuna Amar, he disagrees. Loimar klom, it doesn't work. It's a non-starter. Why? Why is that? Says the Rashbam. The kivan de bekinyan echad shitev shneim. Since he paired them together in one kinyan, lo nigmar bedate lahaknes lezebel ezek klom. His mindset was, his intention was not to give one without the other. The kivan de chamer lekan, you nami lekan. Since the chamer doesn't work, the man doesn't work either. So according to Rav Hamnuna, nothing for anybody. But Rav Sheshes Amar Kana HaKoyl. Rav Sheshes goes the other way. Totally the other way. True, the chamer gets nothing, but the man gets everything. Why? Said the Rashbam, because Adam Yoidea Shein Chamer Koyne. A person really knows, deep down, that a chamer cannot be koyne. V'gomer B'dayte, he figured, Shemisha Yuchalikris Mishnei Miknam. One of these two, whoever has the ability to be koyne, will get it. We'll get everything. So we have a three-way machlekes. In a case of At V'chamer, you be kinda with the donkey. Rav Nachman, the man gets half. Rav Amnuna gets nothing. Rav Sheshes, he gets all. Amar Rav Sheshes, Mino Aminelo. How do I know this is true? That although one element of this procedure was a failed attempt, nonetheless, the other aspect is not affected. The man aspect works. How do I know this is true? And it works to the point that he's totally unaffected by the invalidity of the chamer's kinyan. The Sanya we have a brice. Rabbi Yossi says like this. Typically, we are meant to take off teruma, right, the pot that goes to the kohen, from the best. So basically, you're not supposed to shortchange the kohen by separating something which is of inferior quality and apply it as truma on the other one which is better. If anything, the other way around, right? It's supposed to be min hayafe. So let's say he took off a kishus, some sort of gourd, pumpkin, or a squash probably, right? So he says, what about a concern that perhaps it's rotten inside, it's something wrong inside. How would we know? It's not really visible from the outside. So basically he says, look, stay calm. At most, At most, the bitter aspect of the kishrus is only inside, in the core. So you want to really ensure that you're doing a good job, that you're taking off proper teruma, just add a little bit to compensate for any possible inferiority deep inside, which is only a small amount. Rashbam calls it a share of kibetz. Just add a little bit more. Lefichach kishu term. So when he does teruma, using a kishrus, which is still whole and, you know, closed up, in which case the inside is invisible, meisiv alachitzein, shaboy v'toyrim, just add a bit more to the outer shell that you're seeing, just add a bit more, and you're good. The question is, amai, how is this considered an effective teruma? At v'chamayru. Look, on the chance that the inside is inferior, so part of it is good, part of it is no good, it's like one process involving valid and invalid. It shouldn't work. Apparently it does. The failed part doesn't affect the successful part. Right? Amai atvach amayr. Answers the Gemara, no, you can't compare. Shani Hassan, there it's very different, because either way, even if it's poor quality, it's still going to work as truma. The midai raisa, because min ha-toyra truma mal yosahi. Even if it's inferior, it still works. Damar b'loi. How do we know this is true? Minayin l'toyra min ha-ra l'yof. How do I know that if a person actually, even intentionally, separates ra and uses it as truma on the yafe? How do I know it works? Shetrumasi truma. It's not, you're not supposed to do so. It's less than ideal. But how do we know it works? Shenamar v'leitisul of chet v'arimchem eschel b'mimenu. The Torah warns us. The Torah advises us to do the best. Chelboy, the chel of the best. Don't violate. Don't do a chet. Don't transgress. If you want to avoid transgression, do from the best. Oh, apparently, he does from the inferior, bad quality. He has transgressed. Now, let's think for a second. If it doesn't work, the process is a non-starter. It's not truma. He didn't do truma. So there's no violation. It wasn't ever, right? He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do truma. Either it works. So if it's good, it works. If it doesn't work. If it's no good, it doesn't work. Now, if he does inferior, if he does ra, if that's poor quality, and it's not kaddish, nisius chet lama. Why is he getting a chet? It's just an ineffective process, a failed attempt. Mikan, so we learn from here, Torah min ha-ra la-yofe, shetrumas ha-truma. We learn from here that in fact, even if you take from ra, for the yofe it works. So, ultimately, there's no raya to anything from this b'raisa. We had tried to prove that pairing together good, successful with failed as one, the failed doesn't affect the successful. From the fact that the truma is effective. Well, it would be effective regardless, even if it's totally inferior. We're just trying to do the best we could, cover all bases, make sure we really do a proper, ideal truma. Okay, but technically speaking, even if it's poor quality, you're still yaitzeh. As opposed to being kind to a chamer, where it doesn't work. Amulei Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai turned to Rav Ashi. You should know that Moshe Rav Avi once asked a question to Yufti Yadakasha on the Ashitas of Rav Nachman and Rav Hamnuna, who hold that the person is not kind of the entire thing. Like, look, Rav Sheshes holds. So there's a kasha on them. Tiyuft masa b'chamesh nashim. We have a Mishnah Meseches Kedushin. An incident involving five nashim. Ubenesh de'achayis. Amongst them, you have two sisters. V'liket echad kakol ha-shoteim. A man filled up a basket of, picked a basket full of figs. Vishalen hoisa. Actually, those figs grew in their field. So how could he take it? Because it was Shemitah. It's hefker, accessible to all. Vishal shviyis hoisa. So technically, it's his, because he was kind. Va'amar, he turned to them. He says, look, here's the basket of figs for the sake of Kiddushin. Hare kulchan mekudoshesli, I'm engaging all of you. V'kalkal azois, with this basket. V'kib la'achas menadei kulan, one of the women accepted the gift on behalf of all of them. What was the result? Amr chacham ruled, ein achayis mekudoshes. The two sisters are not mekudoshes, because one may not marry. You can't do a kiddush on two sisters, because you can't be married to one and then the other, right? So you can't be mekadosh two of them at the same time. But the rest, right, are mekudosh. Achoyos hudein mekudoshes. Apparently, only the sisters are out of the equation, but the other ones, hanachriyas, the unrelated ones, mekudoshes, are mekudosh to him. Vamai, why? It was done in one swoop, in one package. If part of it failed, the entire thing fails. If you learn that, if you go with that approach, v'amai at v'chamori, it's like it's for you and for the donkey. And we see it still works. Armalei so Rav Ashi responded to Rav Mordechai. I had a dream, you know. Haynu dechazoy. That explains why I saw in my dream the son of Rav Avya, Rav Huna bar Avya, b'chel. I saw him in a dream. And the message was that I'm going to be experiencing, I'm going to be presented with a kashya from his father, the Moisiv Rav Avya to Yufta. So it's amazing, the sequence of events really work. Now you come with a kashya from Rav Avya, but let me give you an answer. Lav mi okimna, haven't we already explained? We've already offered an answer. He didn't simply give them the basket blindly. Oh, for all five. He said something with that. He said, only those who are suitable for living with me physically, meaning married to me, only those that I can marry, I'm being mekadosh. So it's not like he was trying to get them all. So initially, the kedushin was only directed to those who were suitable. And therefore, it's unrelated to our discussion. Where he gave to the person at the chamor, it's a totally different story. Okay, so conclusion. Here, take my nechasim like the animal. It doesn't work. With the animal, that's a machlekes. Rav Sheshe says he gets everything. Rav Nuno says nothing. Rav Nachman says the man gets half. Okay, so this ties into the next sugya. Hahu da'amu lo ledvisu. A certain person turned to his wife. He was a shchivmara, he was, you know, close to death. Nechasai lich. I'm giving you my assets, you and my kids, and your sons. Okay? So the question is, how much to whom? There are, you know, nine kids and the widow. Does she get 10%? An equal share like the other kids? Or did he mean to give her half? Half to her and half to the kids? Amar Rabbi Yosef, kantsa mechtsa. She gets half. Because whenever we have two intended recipients, it's 50-50, unless specified otherwise. So when he said you and the kids, he meant you 50%, the kids 50%. Vam Rav Yosef, Menor Amin Allah, I don't know if this is true. That when two parties are mentioned, it's 50-50. The Sani, we have a brisa regarding the Lechem Haponim, which was distributed in the Beis HaMikdash to the Kehanim. Rabbi Aymer, V'hoysel Aaron Lebonov. We learn from the Pasuk, which grants it to Aaron, who was a Kohen Gadol, and to all his kids, that it was meant as 50-50. Mechtel Aaron, Mechtel Lebanon. 50% to Aaron Akoin, to the Kohen Gadol, and 50% to all his kids. It could be 100 Kohanim during that, you know, rotation, during that week. They have to split the half amongst themselves, and the other half goes to the Kohen Gadol. Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol just get, you know, 1%, 2% like everybody else? The answer is, could the Pasuk mention him separately? It should go to Aaron and to his kids. So despite the fact that his kids are more numerous than him, but we have two classes, two groups of recipients, Aaron, 50%, and Bona, 50%. Half my assets to the wife, half to all the kids together. Amar Le Abayis, Abai responds, how could you prove anything from there? Bishlei Mahasam Aaron Machar Lukuhu. You see, by Lechem Haponim, Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, and likewise all the Kohanim Gadolim throughout the generations have that same status, right? They're entitled to 50% of the Lechem Haponim. So, but you have to realize something. The starting point is that Aaron is Bar Chalukahu. He's no different than any other Kayan. He's entitled to a share, an equal share, 1%, 2%, you know, depending on the amount of people. So his starting point is somewhere. And when the Pasuk goes out of its way, so to speak, to mention him, to give him an entitlement, which we already know he has, we're giving him that special entitlement to the Lechem Haponim. Apparently we're trying to give him an extra entitlement. We're trying to upgrade his share from 2% to 50%. Bishlei Mahasam Aaron Bar Chalukahu, Lahochi Parat Berachmano. That would explain why the Torah specifies him. L'mishkal palga. Singles him out to give him the extra. To go from 1% to 50%. But isha la bas yirushihi, as opposed to our story, a wife is not really an eligible yirish of her husband's assets. The kids are. The boys are. So her starting point is zero. So perhaps when he included her, he was merely trying to give her something. Go from 0 to 1% to 10%, whatever, according to her, according to the number of people. Isha la bas yirushihi. Daya, it should be sufficient for her to take, her fair share, not 50%. Shetitol ki'achad me'abonim. A share like any other son. So again, if you're going from something to something, apparently you're trying to upgrade it. Okay, so it goes to 50%. But if you're going from zero, starting point is nothing, so perhaps he was just trying to give her some rights, but not that her rights will exceed those of the kids. So Abai disagreed with Rav Yosef's concept of 50-50. Any astig mor akash. Really? Abai holds that you don't get 50%? There was a story that took place in Nahar Do, in the town of Nahar Do. This type of story where the husband mentioned the wife and the kids. V'agbi Shmuel pal, and Shmuel gave her half. A similar story took place in Tveria. And what happened? V'agbi Rabbi Yechon palga, Rabbi Yechon gave her half. V'su another kash. This is a similar situation which involved a king with his crown. Not really Yerusha related, but we can derive this concept from there as well. When he came, Amar, he told us a story. So the king is to have his, is to make a collection for the king's crown. So all the wealthy and the ministers used to have to contribute to it. So the cost of the klila of the crown, the shadu de malka, so the authorities imposed it on who? And two classes of people, two groups. A'abuli. Abuli are the rich, wealthy people who have lots of money. Va'is terugi. These are the ministers, although prominent people, but not as wealthy as the abuli. Question. Who pays what? These two groups are responsible. How much per group? Amar Rabbi, so Rabbi said, nisvu abuli palga. The abuli have to pay 50%. V'is terugi, and the ministers palga pay the other 50%, despite the fact that the abuli are more wealthy. Because he imposed it on two classes, two people, two groups of people. And whenever we have a situation that two are mentioned, each one gets half. Likewise, in the case of the husband promising his wife and his kids. Answers the Gemara, same as before. We have to look at the starting point. How could you compare? Initially, whenever there was some sort of tax imposed, Kavukasvi, they would send out, tax letters. Abuli Avukasvi, it was directed at the wealthy. This Trugi and the ministers have a Messiah Badai would help them out. This is a known fact that they would, lend a hand. The other Malka, the Avuka Messiah, and the king knew about that they, they were helping out. So, the base point was that everybody, even the Strugi, are paying some. Hashta Maidakas Kasvi. So why did the king decide to explicitly mention the ministers? Why was that necessary? They were paying in any case. They were, up until now, they were also getting involved in contributing. Maidakas Kasvi Abulivas Turugi. Why did the authorities explicitly single out both parties? Lumemra, to inform them, the Hanipalga Vanipalga, that each group pays 50%. So again, the starting point was something. So now that they were mentioned, explicitly mentioned, they got honorable mention, to indicate that they're going to take an equal share. They're going to share the burden equally with the wealthy, 50% per group, as opposed to our story with the Isha, who's not really entitled to anything. So perhaps her husband's mention is just to give her something. Here comes another kash on Rav Yosef, who says it's 50-50. A fellow gets up and pledges a mincha, right, a flour, dough, carbon to the Mizbeach. Huge, 100 isarin, okay, the biggest you can get. Lavi b'shnei kelim. And he adds that it's going to be brought in two separate, it's going to be split into two containers. He knows it's too much for one, okay. So how much do you put per container? You would think 50-50. No, says the the halacha, maybe shishim b'kli echad v'arboim b'kli echad. You split it 60-40, 60 in one kli and 40 in the other. What do you mean? According to Rabbi Yosef, it should be 50-50. Now the Mishnah does conclude, maybe chamishim kli echad. If you do split it, you know, down the middle, 50 isarin in one kli, v'chamishim kli echad and 50 in the other one, okay, yatsa, it's okay. Maybe in, only if you did it. So after the fact, it's okay. The chatchil libe, preferably, it shouldn't be done this way. It should be 60-40. What do you mean? Why? Why not 50-50? According to Rabbi Yosef, it's always split evenly. V'sagadayta kol ki aigavna palkol paga. If we'll take on this position that whenever we have, you know, a split, unless otherwise specified, it's 50-50. Palgo palgo. Afil l'chatchila nami. So, even l'chatchila, he should be instructed to do 50-50. Answers the Gemara, no. Hachi Ashta, you can't compare. It's a totally different context. Hasam anan sade. There, we can bear witness as to this person's mindset. The haigavar mi'ikar, this person initially, l'karm gadol k'machav, he's trying to bring a Guinness Book of World Records, you know, a super jumbo carbon, the biggest you can get. By the conversion, the reason why he conceded that it's going to be split into two containers, he didn't really want it, but he knows. He's being realistic. The yada, the le'ev shalasu b'kliyachad. He's a shtickle, knowledgeable person, so he knows that at most, halacha is at most, you can bring only 60 isor in one kli. Rashbam brings, this is the maximum you bring on the first day of Yom Tov, on the Sukkot that falls out on the Shabbos. It's 61, so the individual has to be at least one less. 60, okay, these are halachas that we learn in Maseches Menachos. According to Reb Shimon, because that's the most that can be properly mixed. So he knows that. So, okay. Second best is cram in as much as you could, which is 60. Kama de Efsha, as much as you can fit into one kli, lasu, you can bring one, now you see what we do. So here he clearly doesn't want two mini minchas. He wants a jumbo as you can get, the maximum allowable, which is 60. As opposed to our story with the Yerusha, where Rav Yosef interprets the lashon of the husband to mean 50% for the wife and 50% for the children. That's how we paskin. V'ilchasa, kava said Rav Yosef, when we paskin like Rav Yosef in the situations where he had a dispute with Rabbah, typically we pass on like Rabbah, except for three cases. Besad the Inyan Mechzav, Sad is a halacha back in first parak of Bava Basra. Inyan is something we learned in Yesh Neichlin, and Mechzav is our sugi. We split it down the middle. Here comes another story. Ahud the Shada, this fellow was out of town. He sent over a package of piski the Shiroi, you know, pieces of materials, Lebeise back to his house. He didn't specify what's for whom. And he had lots of kids, sons, daughters. Amra be'ami ru'uyin labanim, the material which is suitable for boys, goes to the boys, labanim. We assume that's what he meant. Ru'uyin labanim is those for the girls, labanim goes to the girls. Well, Amar, it's only true that the girls get, unless they counsel if he doesn't have any daughter-in-laws in the house. Unless they counsel, but if he has a daughter-in-law, the counsel is shada, we assume he sent it for her, to provide for her, in honor of her son. But, there's an exception to this. V'ibansi l'nei simon, if his daughter is not yet married, he wants to make sure they dress well, so that prospects for marriage are high. Loy shavak bante. In this case, he wouldn't neglect his daughters and prefer his daughter-in-law. Mishad l'kalsi. So we know that the materials are meant for the girls. Ha'u d'amr lu nechase levonai. Okay, this fellow declares, shchimara, my assets goes to my sons, plural. He only had one son. Havali bro, but he also had a daughter, Ubarta. So did he mean to give each one 50%? Because he said sons. Mikor l'inshi lebra bonai. Does it make sense that a person would refer to one son as sons? And it's all going to him? Idum l'kor inshi lebra bonai. Or perhaps no. Wouldn't make sense to call a son sons. Rather, he meant to include a daughter. L'moishcha lebarta, to include the daughter. Matana, in this gift. Ka'asi. You know, that's what he's trying to do. Amar Abayit Hashma, I'll bring a raya. Yeah. At times you can relate to one son as many, perhaps because of his, you know, offspring that will come later. Ubnei Dan, the sons of Dan, Chushim, one man, Chushim. Humble Rava, no, Dilmu Katana Bechiska. Perhaps that pasuk can be explained as Tana Bechiska explains, that there was a special reason why Shayyab Rubin Kechushim Shalkana, that the Torah here is prophesizing, is basically telling us ahead of time that the son of Dan, whose name was Chushim, is going to produce many offspring like the offshoots of a reed. So there's a special reason why, special bracha, a special reason why the Torah called them chushim. But typically, you wouldn't relate to a single son in a plural expression. But we have two other rayas that we do. Elam Arava ubnei Palu Eliyav. The sons of Palu Eliyav, one name. Rav Yosef Ara ubnei, the sons of Esan Azari. So you see that it does make sense. And in this case, unless proven otherwise, everything goes to the boy. Again, he got up and said, "Oh, my assets go to my sons." Havli bro bar bro. He had a son and a grandson. So again, the same question. Right? What do you mean to say? Korol inshi le bar bar bro. Shall we assume that he referred to his grandson as well? And people do label a grandson with the name son. So when he gave it all away to his sons, he meant to his son and grandson. Oiloi, or perhaps not. The person would not relate to his grandson as a son. Rav Chaviva Amaria, Karu, Inshi LeBarbro, Bro, at times, people do use the term son for a grandson. Mabravashi Amar, Loi Karu, Inshi LeBarbro, Bro, no, they don't do that. Kanika said to Mabravashi, right to the second opinion. Hamudaran Bibon, person made a nether, disengaged from somebody's banim. Question, what about the person's grandchildren? Mutter, bibnei banim, he can engage with his grandchildren, can have an offer from them. Apparently, in terms of loshem bnei adam, sons are sons, grandsons are grandsons. Now the Rashbam points out, that's regarding linguistics, but regarding halacha, let's say, pru revu, person doesn't have any kids, chas v'shalom, his kids die, but he has grandchildren. Rashbam brings a gemara in Yevamos that he's yaitzei. He's still in fulfillment of the mitzvah because le'inyan piriyah v'rivya, regarding that mitzvah, it's about having descendants, but having, you know, offspring, and even grandsons, achashivi, considered like banim. Says the Mishnah, hiniach banim g'doylem k'tanim. Person passes away, left behind an estate with some older kids, younger kids, hishbichu g'doylem z'nechasim. The older ones invested and improved on the assets. Okay, there was an increase in value because of their involvement. So the gain belongs to all the children equally. And the Gemara will explain soon exactly what this means. But let's say the older kid says, "Look, take a look. Let's make a full appraisal today. This is what it's worth. Okay, this is what father left behind. And now we're going to get involved and invest and improve on it. Well, you know, we're business people. We're farmers. We're going to go and invest and, you know, reap the profits." Oysen v'oichlen. So in this case, it changes the equation. Yishbichu la'atzman. So whatever gain came about, that belongs to them only, and only them. And likewise, v'cheina isha sheyishbichu sanachasim, a wife whose husband passed away, and she went and improved on the assets. Yishbichu la'emtza, the gain belongs to everybody, to the boys or whatever, right? Im amra, but if she stipulated, look, I'm doing this for myself. Take a look at what my husband left. I'm going to go and work on it and get it, you know. That gain, that profit belongs to her. He quotes Rava like this. When do we say that if the mature ones, the older ones, it belongs to everybody equally? Oh, it's only correct if the assets gained on their own. Right. That the assets just, you know, rose in value. And the Rashbam says, let's say they used money. They use the joint account money to hire workers to improve on it, right? To work the fields. So the gain is machmas nechasim. It's an internal gain. So in that case, they're not entitled to anything extra, because it's, you know, joint expense and joint profit. Avol shibchu nechasim machmas atzmon. However, if the older sons were the ones who invested on it, they put in the money, they put in the effort. He So in this case, they actually expended the expenses, they invested, they hired the workers from their own money. So now the gain, the added value, belongs to the to these parties and only them. Says the Gemara, is that true? V'amar b'chanin, afilu l'inich l'mavim, elu idyayni, haschar l'emtza. B'chanin says, even if the father only left behind a idyayni, that's like a some sort of water hole, okay? Boyer v'kisuye, a hole with a water storage pit with a lid. And they would, you know, rent it out to people to use for watering their fields. Haschar l'emtza. So in this case, again, the profit belongs to everybody equally. How? Who takes care of the Jani? The older kids are standing there watching it. Otherwise, everybody, you know, would take the water freely. They have to secure it. They're doing it. So why does that profit belong to everybody? Answers the Gemara, no. Shani Jani. Jani is very different. You merely have to, you know, guard it. Even kids can do that. Even the younger ones, Matsumantri, like they could watch it. Not a big deal to stand there and just make sure, right? So the young ones can tell the older ones, we don't need you. We can do the same thing. As opposed to where the older ones, you know, invested their money or did work that, you know, is not suitable for youngsters. In this case, it's their profit and only theirs. Okay, in summation, here, take my nechasim, you like the chamor, doesn't work. You and the chamor, some say it works, some say it doesn't, some say it gets 50%. That's Rav Yosef's concept, whenever you provide to two, without specifying proportions, it's typically 50% each. You had rayas and kashas back and forth, and concluded like Rav Yosef. We have a story of a fellow sent back materials, who goes to. We learned about the Loshen Bonai. It could be a reference even to one son, but not two grandsons. We learned about assets that rose in value. Depends how. Naturally or by way of the older brother's, you know, personal investment. In that case, it belongs just to them. But otherwise, it's distributed to all equally. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.